Let's pick up in midstream with the second part of this provoking message. TheSpeakingDeacon.com. Truth is here.
Religion is someone rejecting Christ, hoping they can earn their way to heaven. It's totally the opposite. It's horrifically bad and sad. And that's why you don't want to hang your hat on religious activities to save you. Not to mention, one gives slavery, the other gives freedom. I remember I took a youth group back in Ephrata. We took a youth group to Dorney Park. Anyone ever heard of Dorney Park? It's a big theme park on the east side of PA. And so here's my youth group. They weren't dressed any different than any other kids. And then all of a sudden this big bus pulls up, and all these kids, boys and girls, get off the bus. The girls had denim dresses down to here and shirts kind of like mine, you know. That's what the girls wore, and the guys wore, you know, long pants, long shirts, whatever, to play at the park all day on, the, you know, a 90-degree summer day. So, you know, you wait 20, 40 minutes in line for a roller coaster. So me and a bunch of the guys are hanging out, and there's a group of girls in front of us. So we get up to them and like, what church are you? We figured it was a church. And they're like, what group are you? And they're like, religious group. And I'm like, what? Religious group. It's like, what? Are you not even allowed to talk with us? They were some sort of religious group, Christian, I'm sure. I don't doubt their salvation. I'm not picking that they're not saved. I don't know. But they've got these man-made religious rules stating how a girl should dress, how a guy should dress, and you really can't find that in Scripture. You can interpret what it means to dress modestly, and that might be what they're doing, but to say, this is what modest looks like, thus saith the Lord, is a dangerous place to be. Because in each culture, that varies. So you got to be very careful of what thus saith the Lord, and that's why these are much better. Evangelism. It doesn't matter what it looks like as long as you're obeying Christ and doing it. Figure it out. It's going to be messy. You're going to blunder forward and you're going to say something stupid. It's okay. Discipleship. You got 7 days a week to get your nose and your ears and your brain in a Bible. You better be doing it because Christ commanded you. Ministry. You all should have a ministry within your local body of believers somewhere. Why? Because Christ commanded you. I ain't nobody. I'm not commanding you. I'm not doing it. Jeff said I need a ministry. No, he didn't. I need a ministry. I have a ministry. Worship. Where are you worshiping? When are you worshiping? How are you worshiping? And fellowship. This is the tough one. This is where I'm definitely convinced our church has the biggest challenge, because we're all hardworking people. We have our jobs. We have our families. But this fellowship, getting together with other believers so we can encourage one another in Christ, as we're going to look at a little more deeply here, that's a tough one. That's a tough one, because we can justify not making it, not getting together. We got a good reason. Not according to Jesus. Oh, help us, Lord, make it happen. Because it's tough. So do you see the difference? The freedom is just obey Jesus. Obey Jesus. However that looks is up between you and your particular circumstances. It doesn't mean, all right, according to Papa regulations, you need to make sure that. That doesn't mean that at all. That's religion. What are you doing to serve Christ? Because you loved him, because he saved you from hell. Let's unpack that motivation a little more. Back to Colossians chapter 2. Are we still in Colossians chapter? Yes, we are. Verses 9. Here it is. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. I'm going to stop right there for a moment. There's a verse for you. There is your cult killer right there. Knock it right out of the park. When the Jehovah's come to the door, hey, would you like a watchtower? You can say, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. You need Jesus, the God-man. And that's all you got to tell them. When they run away, because they hate God and think you're crazy. Guess what? You hate to tell you this, Mitt Romney belongs to a cult. Mormonism is a cult. It is not glorified Jesus. Mormonism believes that God himself was a man. God the Father was a man like me who propagated and with a lady and had Jesus and had the devil and had a whole bunch of other people. So when a Mormon comes up to you and says, I believe in Jesus Christ, no, they don't. It's a cult, and those people are going to hell unless they believe in Jesus Christ, who is God. Got it? Mitt Romney belongs to a cult. Make no mistake. There. Right out of the park. The fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And then we move on to verse 10. And you have been given fullness in Christ. Wait a minute, let's connect this together. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised in him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Now get this. Here's the motivation for the Christian. Verse 13. There's a lot to unpack there, but I'm going to move on. Verse 13. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. That's the motivation for the Christian. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you. God made you alive with Christ. How could God make us alive with Christ? Because we were dead in sins. That's why some people can preach the gospel all day and it's like, I ain't getting it. I don't want to get it. Unless the Holy Spirit zaps them and brings them to life, they're not going to get the good news of Christ. But for us, we know that we were dead in our sins and then in the uncircumcision of our sinful nature. Now, why is Paul bringing this up, the uncircumcision? Why is he bringing that up? Because in the context of Colossians, religious people were coming to the church and saying to the folks, no, 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 come back to religion. Forget Jesus. No, 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 that's too easy. Works, works, works. We're going to chop you here. We're going to snip you there. Ah! That alone would make me want to run for my life. All in the name of whatever. That's scary. And so Paul's addressing that. And then he goes on to say, having canceled the written code with its regulations. Once again, you know those folks who say, I've tried my best, I'm not perfect, I'm going to go before God with that scale, that justice. And that's because everybody knows. Everybody knows there's a moral code, and everybody knows they're not perfect and they're failing it. But it says here in Colossians 2:14, having canceled the written code with its regulations, no more law, no more rules that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He, Jesus, took it away, nailing it on the cross. That's what the scripture says. We're free from that. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. That is cool stuff. That is why a Christian lives for Jesus. That is why a Christian gets up and says, all right, Lord, how am I going to make this happen? How am I going to make this happen? I want to serve you because you saved me from hell. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Discipline in discipleship. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says this. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Now, that's an unpopular verse because most people think, hey, you know, just God loves you. God loves you. And he certainly does. But the wrath of God is coming on those who hate him. And God hates the wicked. God hates the wicked. And he will bestow his wrath on the wicked. And it says that in Psalms 11, 5 through 7. It says, "The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates." God hates the wicked, and they will get his wrath. It's a very scary thing to fall into the hands of a living God, the living God. On the wicked, he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face. The only men who are upright are down on their knees before the cross, knowing that it's Jesus who credited to them his righteousness.
Whoa, Jeff. Let's give the people a break and end right here for today. Has this got you thinking? Please leave a comment on Facebook or send us a tweet. Truth is here.